In the studio now, I have with me Carolyn Forsyth, who is the chair of the organising committee of Sculpture on the Gulf, which is starting this year on Friday, March the 1st, which is later than normal. Good morning, Caroline. Welcome to Waiheke Radio. Thanks for your time. I know just a week out from this incredible event, you must be very busy.
Thank you very much, Greg. Yes, I'm busy. Everybody's busy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's a huge hum in our office as our amazing team sorts out all the things that crop up at the last minute and deals with them.
Absolutely. You've had 2 years to organise this, but this is a huge event and we've got a whole lot of people. We'll talk about numbers and the impact on the island in a minute, but first of all, congratulations on the 9th sculpture on the Gulf. That's 18 years of intense passion for art from you and all those other people involved.
It is indeed, and that's what drives it, a passion for sculpture in this landscape, in the beautiful Waiheke environment.
Mm. If there's anybody out there who doesn't know what Sculpture on the Gulf is, and I really can't believe that now, it's the walk down the Matiatia headland, the sculpture walk, which we've... How many sculptures for this event, Karen?
28.
So 28 renowned New Zealand sculptures have been selected. There's quite a lot more entered than are selected.
Yes, indeed. About 150 entered and 28 have been selected. And they cover a wide range of, you know, people who have exhibited before, who we're well known to Waihikians.
Waiheke artists too.
Waiheke artists. Mm. And then people who are just starting out, who've never done an outdoor sculpture before.
Wow.
And
but have impressed the selection committee.
Yeah, they've had an idea. And often it's been a question of, you know, talking through with the artist concerned how to make the sculpture fit the conditions here, you know, because it's not exactly a piece of cake to put a sculpture up on the walkway.
Not in this weather, anyway.
No. I mean, the weather is a bit of a worry.
Well, let's talk about the weather because, it, we had this fabulous January and February and then it seems to be collapsing a bit. But it's not for another week. It doesn't start for another week and then it runs for 3 weeks. So how's the forecast looking?
The forecast beyond the next couple of days is not looking so bad. Please, no more cyclones up in the Pacific.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the people in the Pacific would
agree
with that.
Yeah, I think Vanuatu just escaped. They had some coastal damage, but not too much in the villages.
Yeah. And, you know, this rain this weekend, it is going to set us back a little bit. But what we haven't got is the wind that was originally forecast, and it's the wind that does the damage and the wind that did the damage 2 years ago.
Yeah, and indeed setting up. In fact, you're setting up this weekend some?
There are two sculptures up already, and there'll be more going up even as we speak.
Yeah.
And I like to think that the korowai, the protective cloak that Ngāti Pāua and the Piritahi Marae laid over the whole event, the walkway, the artists, all of us, back in November, had some effect in turning the threat of Cyclone Omar itself into just, quite a lot of rain, but the wind issue doesn't look like it's going to eventuate.
That's fantastic news. So there's, a little bit of rain now might just green it all up nicely and then we'll have perfect weather for early March. That's the plan, isn't it?
That's the plan, man.
Yeah, excellent. So tell us about some of the more, some of the sculptures that you can talk about now. For example, you said before we came on air there are two that involve the audience.
Yes, there are. There's one by Elliot Collins, who has exhibited before, and it's called Memory Castle.
Mm-hmm.
It will be in Alison Park.
Ah, so not out on the headland, but in Alison Park. Excellent.
Yeah, that's part of our aim to bring people through into Oniroa. So it'll be in Alison Park. It'll be a castle made out of scaffolding, but it will be covered with flags which the public create about their memories.
Ah, we might see a few Crow Waiheke flags up there.
There will be a few Waiheke flags up there because I know Elliot's been talking to the schools.
Oh, excellent.
And anybody who wants to participate can.
And bring along a flag that they've made or that they have. Or
they can do it on the spot.
Or do it on the spot. Yep. Excellent. And there's another one too down the walkway itself.
Excuse me. Yes, on the headland, Anton Ford has a piece called Pen to Peace to Peaceful Sword.
Mm.
Now, Anton Whakapapa's to Taranaki,
mm-hmm.
so it's very much about Parihaka and the feathers of Parihaka.
Indeed.
And
I've been reading about the feathers of Parihaka recently.
So it's a very interesting event in New Zealand history which hasn't been recognised enough in the past.
Not fully explored.
No.
We know more about it since the book that Dick Scott, was it, wrote?
Yeah, no, there are a couple of...
Yeah.
But
really, Parihaka is not well known enough, is it? And is this all part of a sort of bringing people to the issue rather than forcing the issue down their throat?
Yeah, I guess it's about making people think. But what Anton has done, or is doing, because it's happening now, is he's sketching out an enormous three-pronged feather on the headland, and people will be invited to put a peg in.
Ah.
So the feather will be able to be seen from the ferry and also to take the peg out at a later stage.
Wow.
So it will be quite...
So audience involvement.
Audience involvement.
Don't sit in the front row. But this is different, isn't it? Because we're going along to see the sculptures, but there is something tactile. And I know that when I've done this, I wanted to touch every single one and climb them, and I know I don't. Don't worry, I don't. But it's lovely that there are a couple that you can get involved in.
Yes, it does. And there are others which...
Are touchable, obviously.
Are touchable, and there are some that are ephemeral, and there are some that have...
What's Virginia King's like, can I ask?
Virginia King's is a set of her usual wire and stainless steel structures.
Yeah, light filigree type.
Exactly.
Delicate but strong, all that stuff.
And this time round, they're based on the shape of a hinaki, a fish trap.
I look forward to that very much. Okay, so this isn't just about the visitors. This is about Waiheke artists and Waiheke people as well, and a lot of support from the island again.
Absolutely. I mean, what we've tried to do is to maximise the benefits for the island community and minimise the inconveniences so that in Thursday's Gulf News, for example, there's a little ad about tips for locals.
Nice.
You know, where to park, what the good times to visit are if you're a local. And
that's a good idea.
Yeah. When the shuttle buses are on, the parking is important, for example, because, you know, the people on Nick Johnson Drive, they don't really want to find somebody sitting out over their drive exit.
No, absolutely.
And the buses need to be able to turn round.
Yeah.
So we do ask that people...
Park thoughtfully.
Park thoughtfully.
Yeah.
Preferably down at Matiati or here at Noniroa and get the bus or walk.
Yeah.
But you know, we've changed. As I said earlier, we've changed the walkway a bit this time round, so that there will be Memory Castle in Alison Park, and there will be two sculptures here in the Artworks Courtyard.
Right.
So
this is bringing the village in quite more significantly this time, right? Excellent.
And one of the ones in the Artworks Courtyard is a sort of giant origami by Kazuno Higawa.
Wonderful.
Which I am looking forward to seeing.
So am I. Kazu, of course, did the library itself.
Exactly. and then upstairs in the art gallery will be the small sculptures.
Yes, right.
So that's
pieces. Some of which are maquettes and some of which aren't. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the digital age, artists are less inclined to
make a maquette.
But they will do, they are asked to do a small piece.
Yeah, right.
Which is, you know, will be on sale in the gallery, and there will be other smaller sculptures. So that's
excellent.
That's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, but it goes for 3 weeks.
It goes for 3 weeks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And just
oh yeah, sure, please finish.
Community involvement,
please.
I mean, what I love about this community is that people step up,
don't they?
So that just recently, for example, we've Neat Peters agreed to water blast our hygiene mats for Kari Dieback, which is, you know, it's not a huge job, but it's a tiresome job because they have to be taken away and water blasted.
At the end of each day or...?
Well, after a reasonable amount of traffic.
Right.
I mean, it varies.
So let's just get clear on this. There aren't kauri trees down the track, but everybody who visits Sculpture on the Gulf this year will be washing their feet.
everybody who visits the sculpture on the Gulf will have their feet checked for loose soil by Kauri ambassadors.
Wow.
And they will also walk through the hygiene station. So, yeah.
This isn't just good for Kauri on the island. This is good for consciousness raising, it seems
absolutely.
To me.
And we've done quite a bit of that through Facebook and on our website and so on because, you know, people need to understand.
So you've had in the past up to 40,000 people go through the sculptures, and this year you think maybe a bit less because it's a different time of year and you're not kind of, you know, trying to make any assumptions about the numbers. But that's a lot of people, a lot of whom wouldn't have ever washed their feet before.
You're right. And so hopefully it will, because you can't get on the track unless you go through the station.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will raise consciousness.
I wonder if we'll start, because there is actually a foot cleaning station on the wharf in Auckland, but I've never seen anybody use it.
No.
So perhaps, you know, one day we will actually have people understanding the biosecurity issues that we have on the island.
Yeah, that would be fabulous.
Yeah, wouldn't it? And everything we do, including sculpture on the Gulf, is part of raising the awareness of the island, our life here, the art here, and the environment here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And these artworks are indelibly connected to their environment. That's the whole point.
I think that's the wonderful thing. You know, the artists, many of them know the walkway.
Mm.
Others come out to look at it for the first time as they're creating their work.
Mm.
And they respond. They respond in many different ways. You know, people who have Maori heritage see things one way.
Yeah.
People who are focused on the environment might see it another way. Or
entirely.
The two might combine.
Entirely. Yeah. We're not disconnected from art, are we, in that way? We're,
no.
It fuels us in all sorts of different ways. And any last messages for the island or the listeners before we get into the ninth sculpture on the Gulf? That's amazing.
I just want to say thank you to the community because without the community, without our staff who are all locals, without the volunteers.
Have you got enough volunteers or you need more?
We can always do with more.
Okay.
We can always do with more because, you know, things happen. People have to drop out.
So if this has reminded you about Sculpture on the Gulf and you've been meaning for years to get involved, go to the Sculpture on the Gulf website and I'm sure you'll find a contact there that will enable you to volunteer somehow over the next 3 weeks. It starts on Friday. That's 6 days away. Goes for 3 weeks, 30 to 40,000 people, something like that. Some incredible artworks, always. That's the thing for me is that the I'm not an art expert, but I've always just been blown away by the art, absolutely blown away.
And that's what we want to do. We want to blow people away, figuratively.
Yeah, the weather's good. It's the art that will blow you away. Carolyn Forsyth, thank you so much for coming into the studio this morning. Good luck for everything over the next month.